Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. Thank you for joining me today. We have a great topic today. We're talking about living confidently, and I'm very excited about this subject matter because I think at times confidence can be misunderstood or even misrepresented. So we're going to spend some time today, and I have a terrific guest with me, Greg Stiles. I love what he says about himself with it's about finding our hidden Superman or Superwoman. So let's get our capes on, and I'm really excited for this conversation. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about Greg first, and then we'll move right into the subject matter. So Greg, he's actually known as a human development specialist, and he works with executives, athletes, high-level athletes, professionals, and really anyone that's completely serious about becoming the best that they can be. And then the next step to that is those individuals that actually want to share that with others. So they want to share the best of them outward. With a clinical background that's very extensive, he's a licensed psychotherapist with over 20 years of experience. Greg brings a diverse skill set. He brings it to individuals and he works with groups in different manners. And as a continual learner, which is something I love about Greg, he's earned many certifications in the areas of coaching, of executive coaching, wellness, lifestyle, and living that spiritually informed life. Greg's current focus, it involves being the very best and bringing the very best to his clients under the guise of psychology, philosophy, sociology, wisdom traditions, and then personal protection as in self-defense. And he does that currently for women and girls. The information that he brings, it's all synthesized together so that he can remind women that they have this innate power, wisdom, and strength. And then this allows himself and those he works with to teach both women and girls the skills of self-protection and really enhance women's ability to contribute to the world at their highest level. He's a proud veteran, and he's an honorable man, and he lives in Northern California with his beautiful wife, his amazing daughter, who is a wonderful soccer player, and an assortment of dogs and cats. So Greg is going to bring himself to you, and I'm excited to share him. So Greg, hi, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Hi, Jenna. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today. I love our interactions. I love the energy that we have, and you're doing a fantastic job on this radio show. So I'm just excited to contribute whatever amount that I can. So thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so excited about our subject matter, living confidently. We have had many conversations around this, and I think that it's so important to clarify for people some of the definitions around confidence. And I know for me, what I find in my work is there's a very fine line, it seems, to people's understanding between confidence and competence. And for me, there is a great difference. So I'd like to start there and get your take on that. So between confidence and competence, what's the difference?
It's a great question. And yes, I agree. I think so many people unknowingly mix the two. And then when they mix the two, they have expectations that are perhaps out of line with just the concept. And oftentimes it doesn't breed the confidence that they're looking for. So when I'm talking with folks, I see confidence as having the necessary skills or ability to do something well or well enough to meet a certain standard. So it's really just having the skills that you need to perform. That's competence when I'm talking with folks. So, in the business world, that an accountant who has the necessary skills to be a satisfactory accountant or CFO or whatever that particular job requires that they could sit down. You would be able to give them assessment of some type, and on that assessment, they would come out as having the necessary skills to basically do that job. That is competence. And if you look it up in the dictionary, that is very close to the definition of competence within the dictionary. For me, confidence is different. And confidence is much more a feeling or a belief that you can do something well or succeed at something. And so this can be, you know, we can feel this ourselves, or others may feel or believe this about us. For me, confidence is not something you sit down and take an assessment around. There aren't numbers that I can pull up for you. There's not a confidence assessment necessarily that would say, oh, okay, well, Jen is extremely confident about this because she scored thus and thus and thus. She shows these skills around confidence, etc. Confidence is much more about feeling or belief about ourselves. And so often, and why I utilize these concepts with women and especially girls, what other people believe about us and what other people feel about us has a dramatic impact on our own sense of confidence. So for me, those are the two differential ways of looking at competence and confidence.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that with competence, it's measurable. It's something that you can get your hands around. You know, I have a certain skill set, therefore I have a certain ability or a capacity to do something. And what I'm hearing from you around confidence, and I love the piece you put about expectations, because I'm a big believer that the expectations we set are what let us down, not the actual situation. So I think being aware of what our expectations are is key to the success in things. And with that note, when I think about confidence and what you're saying about confidence is, you may not be able to measure it, but it feels to me that competence will get you so far, but confidence, the sky's the limit.
Yes. Beautifully said. And the way I look at confidence is it is the amplifier for competence. So, you know, thinking musically, music has a certain volume. And if you send it through a different machine, it will amplify all of those notes and all of that volume. And confidence is that competence amplifier. We know so many people within the business world, within the athletic world, within politics, everywhere, that, you know, most people come to certain jobs, certain experiences with a certain level of competence. It's those that also have a certain level, a higher level of confidence, that typically go farther and succeed more.
Yeah, it's that confidence is like a leveraging of sorts that I feel. And I think that while all of us are, it's so spoken about in our societies about you just got to be confident. You just got to go out there and be confident, believe in yourself. But there's what happens and what I've experienced both for myself in my past and also in the individuals that I work with is there can become a mask of confidence that we put on and we use almost like a shield outward, where that whole fake it to make it or ideas like that. And I think that when we truly understand what confidence is and how to live confidently, and I'm going to move us through in a minute here to how do we develop confidence. But do you have any thoughts around the mask that we can put on around confidence? Of, you know, I think about the bull in the china shop idea, where in my past, because of the industry that I was working in, I came in very aggressively and very strong because I had something to prove. So as an outsider, maybe that came across as Jenna was very confident. But for me internally, I felt the exact opposite of having very little confidence. So I had to compensate by behaving in a certain way.
Yes. And I see that very often. You know, what I notice and what I believe is that true confidence is an authentic confidence. And the confidence that you're talking about that so many of us use as a mask, and you're absolutely right. In psychological terms, it's a defense. It's a way that we basically keep others away, not because we're confident in our abilities, but as you suggested, Jenna, the exact opposite, that we're really not confident in our abilities, and we want to keep people away so that nobody pokes around too much. Nobody it sees who we really are and sees how much we're quaking in our boots. And so we present this bluster. We present this energy that here's what I think happens so often is that when in your scenario, Jenna, you're moving around, you might be moving around with people that are not confident themselves. And so often I think that when leaders, people in leadership positions are not confident, and instead they are that blustery kind of person, just kind of moving around with that inauthentic self-confidence, they often have inauthentic, self-confident people around them. And what they do is they interpret that behavior as confidence because it reinforces how they feel. Now, if you have a leader who is not self-confident and yet does that bluster, and you have someone in that team who actually is self-confident in an authentic manner, they will see through that immediately. And they will very quickly notice, okay, not really self-confident. I can see that they're doing something else. They're being defensive. They're really just trying to keep people away. So there's an insecurity there. So yes, so many people and much of our society in some ways is built upon this bluster, this, hey, be confident, do this. As you said, hey, just go out there and be confident. Going out there and being confident, it's not a stamp. It's not a sticker that you put on somebody. It's something that you develop from within.
Yeah, and when it is a sticker, it's so obvious. I think of, both you and I are sports oriented. So I think of maybe someone, a hockey team or some soccer team or a sports team where you've got some individuals on that team and perhaps we're talking about teenagers because they're a little more obvious about this and you can see it a little bit more clearly. You've got the guys or gals that come and they puff their chests out and they come across with a pretty good arrogance, and it's really a show if you can see past it. It's a turnoff to a lot of people and it's attraction to other people. But there's a bravado that comes out that so very clearly isn't true confidence. And I think that as you move that into the business world, you can see that in professionals, right? You'll have certain professionals that you work with that have that same kind of bravado. And I'm not saying whether they're confident or not, because I don't know them to be able to speak like that. But there is a difference between inner confidence, those guys that usually get the C on their shirt, the captain, and the other side of confidence, which is that externally driven need to impress or perhaps please or be somebody that we don't innately feel that we are.
And you hit it on the head right there, Jenna. That was wonderful. It's the difference between being internally and externally driven around those issues. And you're absolutely right. The individual that is internally driven and has a innate way of moving through experiences and understanding what confidence is and actually lives authentically, so that captain, that true captain who's actually, oftentimes those are the quiet captains. Those are the men and women that aren't, they're not out there. They're not out blustering. They're the people that everyone knows. They're calm, they're centered, and they're strong. And there's strength in that authentic way of being. And that not only comes off as confident, but they feel confident. And so it's this ripple effect.
Yeah.
The other side also has a ripple effect, but all it does is it weakens. I'm not sure that it strengthens themselves nor others. I think that it sends out almost a distress signal, and it weakens the team. It weakens those people around them. And you can find that in team sports all over the place. You'll find a very solid team, and it will have a nucleus of really calm, authentically confident, and powerful people at that nucleus. And you can find a high-performing team that doesn't have that calm center, And they typically are the teams that will fall out, say, in the playoffs, or they can only go so far because you can only maintain that energy so much.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So let's share with the audience and give them some information. So let's talk about how does someone develop confidence?
When I'm teaching people this stuff, and let me say that there are two ways of going about this, and actually I think they're kind of hand in glove. And one is talking with people about this process of confidence, which I don't think is a mystery. I think that it's actually fairly, it's almost common sense about how one builds confidence. And yet, typically, people don't go about the steps they need to build this confidence. The other piece is that when you're working with somebody and you're trying to help them with their confidence, it's almost like you need to, it helps to radiate your own confidence. Again, it's electric. It is something that moves people without words. And so it's in your being, and it's also in your teaching at the same time. So just for the leaders out there, if you have any qualms about your authentic confidence and how you're moving through the world that way, look at yourself first. Make sure that you are calm, you are centered, you are doing these things, and then teach outward. Because if you don't have that innate, authentic, resonant energy about you, sometimes this teaching will fall flat. So the way that I talk with people, I think a travel analogy is very easy. There are a lot of other ways to think about this. But Jenna, it's basically, let's say that I am here at home and I want to go to Vancouver and see you. And I say, okay, well, I'm going to go to Vancouver and I'm just going to get on a plane and I'm just going to go. Well, there are a whole lot of steps in between to get from here to Vancouver. And if I don't take those steps, then chances are I'm never going to arrive at Vancouver. First of all, I might arrive at a bunch of different places. And if I arrive at a bunch of different places, then that leaves me with a feeling of, oh, I can't make this happen. I can't even get to Vancouver. So what else can I do? So what's really important is, let's say I want to go to Vancouver. Well, then I have to reverse engineer the steps that it'll take to get there. So I have to sit down, I have to plan, I have to figure out what kind of flight I can get, where it comes out of the airport that I'm leaving, how long will it take, what do I need to do once I get there, do I need to get a car, do I need a hotel, etc. Reverse engineer the experience and then take each one of those steps and break it into a smaller step so that what you do is you achieve that smaller step and then you move on to the next smaller step. So for instance, if I have this idea that I want to go to Vancouver, the first thing that I'll do is, okay, Vancouver is my large goal. It's my macro goal. Well, I'm going to reverse engineer, and the first thing I'm going to do is sit down, and I'm just going to, maybe the first thing I do is I go and see how much the flights are so that I have a conception of the financial cost. And then once I have the financial cost, then I can say, well, oh, that's going to work. I can work with that in my budget, or no, I can't. And then I have to go a different direction. And once I figure out that I can do it in my budget, okay, well, what dates will work? Each successive step that I take puts a little bit more into that confidence bank. It allows me that feeling of, hey, well, I figured out what flights were there. I figured out what the finances were. I can figure out what days are. I can figure out all of these things moving forward. And so it's really an ability to kind of move from a macro goal, have a very clear macro goal, reverse engineer so that each small step is very clear in your mind, and then successfully completing each step. And each time you do that, you put more confidence into that confidence bank, which then stays there for that next step.
So the clarity of goals, like I'm hearing that both on the micro and macro, small and large level, and really understanding with clarity the steps that are required to achieve that goal, and then lining them all up and connecting them through to move in the direction. So instead of taking something that's very, very large and perhaps getting stuck or stagnant or even paralyzed in that place, if you can take the large goal and then break it down, if I want to run a 10K, then there are certain things I need to do in order to be able to achieve that. If I want to set a goal within work of achieving a certain sales quota, there's certain things that are necessary, smaller or micro goals within that to move in the direction.
Exactly. And then running the 5 or 10K is really one of the easiest examples to look at. So most people who want to run a 5 or 10K, it would not be wise to just go out and run the 5K and train that way. You want to break it up into small pieces. Because if you go out and you run your 10K the first time that you haven't done that before, chances are, number one, it's going to be a really negative experience that you aren't going to want to repeat. That's not going to help you feel very confident about the whole process. Secondly, you might get injured. That's going to not help you feel confident about your ability to even complete the 10K. And so even get to that goal, it subverts that whole process. So yes, clarity of macro goal, the 10K, and then the small little steps that will take you along the way. So 1 mile this week, 2 miles that next week, 2.5 miles that third week, breaking up into those small things, having that success will lead you to that goal. And it also makes you more confident, which helps you get up in the morning and go do that run.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I know from personal experience, what happens is you get involved in it and you get excited about something. You feel elated about having this goal or this direction that you want to go in. And then perhaps we can get to some level of stumbling or struggling that happens very shortly when you first start. You know, if we want to keep with the running analogy, you know, you start out and you're strong and you're feeling good, and maybe the first run's good, and then the next run less good, and then by the third run you're questioning what you're doing, and your body's reacting, and you're having a struggle of some sort. So what do we do with that? What do we do with the friction?
Absolutely. And friction, for me, friction is vital. I think that friction is really important, because I think that sometimes confidence only comes from the struggle to complete those small steps. And it's you know, really what's necessary is just to recognize the friction for what it is. And that's a sign of progress. It means that you're actually moving towards your goal. So, you know, we can take it into the business world, and let's talk about a manager who just got a big promotion. You know, the raise and the new office and maybe the car and just the feeling of increased self-esteem that comes along with that promotion lasts only so long. And then you're stuck with, oh my gosh, these are my new responsibilities, these are the skills that I need to bring on board, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so when that comes, looking at it more as a positive reflection of where you are, as opposed to an indication of I'm over my head, I can't do this, will increase your self-confidence, because you did everything you needed to do to get to that point. And that all that confidence that was there in the beginning is still there. That can transfer. So friction is really important, and it's a good sign that we're moving in the right direction. The other thing that's really important, Jenna, is resiliency. And that is just the ability to bend and contract, to bend when we need to and to kind of come back into shape. The ability to adjust and respond is vital to building confidence. When you do that, you can adjust to anything. You begin to develop this idea that I can handle anything that comes my way. It might not be easy, but I can do it. And when you develop that mentality, that becomes a global mentality. That can become a global mentality. It can be something that then becomes a mantra for your life, that, you know, hard things happen, but I've dealt with all these other things. I can deal with this as well, and I can move forward. The other thing I think that you were talking about as well, Jenna, that I want to move on to is tenacity. And you've got to hang in there. You've got to stick it out. And sometimes noticing that the friction means that it's positive momentum, noticing that you're building increased resiliency, which makes you much more hardy for the challenges to come, it builds that tenacity. Sometimes just hanging in there and continuing to work without giving up alone builds tremendous, tremendous success. But yeah, I can have little. Yeah, go, Jenna, go.
No, I can actually feel the strength in this, right? And when we were talking at the beginning of the call here, it's about building this inner strength. And I can feel how when we move through these different places, like the friction and building resiliency and tenacity around that goal, we are building a level of strength so that when we experience something, we build a certain level of capacity. So then the next thing we take on, we have more capacity going into it.
Yes, absolutely. And I know capacity is one of your favorite words. So that's absolutely beautiful way to think about it. And when you build capacity, the more capacity you have, the more confidence you have that you can actually utilize that capacity and that you will be able to utilize that. Now, there's a misconception here. Confidence does not always translate into success, whatever that success might be. Confidence does not always mean that you take that last minute shot for the basketball team and it goes in. All it means is that you're willing to take the risk to take the shot. And building confidence, there's a sense of risk. There's a sense of vulnerability because you need to push yourself to develop that capacity. So you also need to, embrace this lifestyle of understanding that it isn't what the larger culture wants us to believe oftentimes, which is that we should just be comfortable and okay within our little snow globe and everything will be all right. To become the Superman, Superwoman that we want to be, we've got to continually to push ourselves beyond our current levels of experience and of living. And in doing so, that creates greater capacity, which feeds into our self-confidence, which feeds into our willingness to risk and be vulnerable, which feeds into our developing greater capacity.
Absolutely. And it all sort of feeds through itself. It's almost feels circular to me. Is that an accurate depiction?
I think so. The way I also see it is it's almost like a quantum field where there are multiple fields within one field. So it's almost like developing your goal. It's that you have this macro experience that all of these little micro things that could be macro in and of themselves feed that macro experience. So your macro experience is your life, and all of these little things feed that larger whole, and everything feeds on one another. So if you move through life this way, if you challenge yourself to push yourself a little bit and do the things that not only not necessarily scare you, but actually make you go, oh boy, that's kind of pushing me a little bit. You're developing confidence, you're developing resiliency, you're developing that ability and that willingness to be vulnerable and that tenacity to hang in there, which then feeds that whole process of, oh, well, I can do this. I've done this before.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I'm an individual listening to this call and I've heard what you've said and, you know, I want to leave this call with something, right? I'm a big believer that people should leave and conversation with something. So can you give the audience three takeaways?
Actually, I can only give you four today. I can't give you three. I came up with four. So here's what I've got. A couple of things that I want people to remember is that confidence is a feeling or a belief. And to cultivate it, you must challenge yourself. That's really important. Challenge is really important in our life. Challenges come. What we must do to continue to grow is to move through those challenges as opposed to avoid them. The challenge is there. It's the gift that we need to grow further. So see the challenge, recognize it, and move through that challenge. That will help you develop confidence that you can take to that next challenge. Make sure that you share with others your belief in them. Share with others that you believe that they can do it, that you believe in their ability to overcome a certain challenge. If you're a leader, if you're a parent, if you're anyone that has any kind of influence over others, make sure that you are influencing them to believe in their own ability. If you do that, that often can help them just have the confidence that it takes to actually go ahead and do that and begin to develop that themselves. Remember, confidence is transferable. When I take piano lessons, ever not having played the piano for 35 years, and I sit down and I struggle, and it's so slow, it's agonizingly slow, and it sounds terrible and ridiculous, even though I'm not happy with the product, that confidence that I actually took the risk and put myself out there transfers to when I'm having a difficult conversation, or when I find another challenge, or when I'm trying to run up a hill and I'd rather just sit down and rest. Confidence is transferable. When you begin filling that confidence bank, you can withdraw it when you need to. So all of these different challenges feed into that confidence. And now one very practical way to build confidence, especially for women, but I think it's for everybody, and that is to exercise. There are many studies out there that have correlated exercise and having a goal, say a 10K, with an increase in self-confidence, as well as improved relationships with self and others. So if there's one practical thing to take away from this, is get out and exercise. Get out and walk. Get out and have a goal to do a 10K. Get out and do something. Don't do it yourself. Do it with a friend. Do it with a partner, because that also makes it much more tolerable to share it with somebody else. So those are the four things that I'd have people take away today, Jenna.
Yeah, that's such great information. And just this, I love the small steps working towards the goal. It's so important. I think we want to put those Superman, Superwoman capes on and just be able to take everything on. And the strength comes from the pace. It comes from being able to move that slow and steady, move through things, because the strength comes in the process of, not necessarily the end. So I think that when, for me, when building confidence, it's about ability. It's about, you know, going back to that initial conversation where we stripped out competence and skills. For me, it's a little different. We're not talking about the same ability as a skill set. It's really about an internal thermostat, an internal ability, or even a knowing, right? Where those things that used to rattle us before, they don't rattle us as much anymore. They don't have as much influence on us, and we're driven more from that internal place out. So, Greg, I think that's really great information that you've shared with us, and people can take away some real tangible action items and things that they can implement. So I thank you for taking your time with this show and with me. I really appreciate spending time with you as usual. For those of you joining our next show, we will be joined by Drayton Boylston. And we will be taking on the subject matter of values. And we will be talking about the values difference. What are values and how do they impact our lives? So, Greg, really good topic about living confidently. I'd love to have you back and explore a little bit further. I'd like to know, you tapped on it a little bit, but how do we develop confidence in others? So if you're game, I'd love to have you back so that we can do that piece. I love what you said, the teaching outward. So I'd love to have you. And until then, if you could share with the audience how they can reach you, if they have any questions or thoughts around this show, that would be great.
Jenna, I would love to come back. I'm always here to talk with you. I love talking with you. So, of course, I will come back. And they can get a hold of me at Greg, G-R-E-G, at gregstyles.com. So G-R-E-G at G-R-E-G-S-T-Y-L-E-S.com. Be glad to interact, answer questions, whatever I can do to be a resource. And Jenna, just thank you so much for having me today. I've truly enjoyed it, as I always do, our conversations, and look forward to the next one.
Absolutely. So everybody, get your Superman or Superwoman cape on and take on the world, even if it's just by small steps. Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.